The knockout stages have started, and in dramatic fashion. At the Parc des Princes, Paris Saint-Germain were on fire. Meanwhile, in Lisbon, after absorbing waves and waves of Dortmund pressure, including a missed penalty, Benfica take a slight advantage into the second leg.
Towards the edge of the six-yard area, headed down, and it's sent in the end! And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou!
So all the best analysis and reaction from both of this evening's enthralling encounters to come as we hear from Roman Bürki, André Schürrle and Benfica's Victor Lindelof. Plus we look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 matches with Bayern against Arsenal in Munich, and then it's Real Madrid hosting Napoli at the Bernabeu. Luka Modric gives us his pre-match thoughts. So stay with us right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, wow, what a night.
It really was. I think it was a UEFA Champions League night for the ages. And of course, it's too soon to talk about transfers of power and pecking orders in UEFA club competition. But that was the ultimate marker from Paris Saint-Germain. An extraordinary team performance from all 13 players involved. And against Barcelona, one of the key teams in this competition, it was entertaining. The atmosphere at the Parc des Princes was according to what that deserved. And just Unai Emery showing that he really has mastery of UEFA club competition. And, you know, maybe he could do in the UEFA Champions League what he's done in the UEFA Europa League.
A reminder, if you needed one, of the scorelines from these first legs in the round of 16, Paris Saint-Germain 4, Barcelona 0 on Tuesday, Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. And we'll begin, of course, with that match of the Parc des Princes between Paris Saint-Germain and Barcelona. It was watched for UEFA.com by Richard Kaufman.
It is Di Maria, and it's the opening goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Di Maria slides on his knees. It's no more than they deserved. It's Di Maria with the opening goal. Paris Saint-Germain 1, Barcelona 0. Berardi is Paris Saint-Germain with it back again. Plays it out to Draxler.
It might well be. Broken Barcelona hearts on Valentine's Day alongside me and Andy Brassel is our commentator for the game, Richard Kaufman. Richard, that was staggeringly good from the French champions.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are going to focus on Barcelona because, you know, this is a team that, you know, is always in the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, always in contention to win the, you know, the biggest competition in European club football. But I think we should obviously keep our eye on that, but we should also focus on what Paris Saint-Germain did tonight, because this was a real team effort. There was a banner put up by the supporters before the game, and it's like, together we can be invincible together. And it was a real team performance. The coach got his tactics right, the setup was great. This was a team missing two of their most influential players in midfield and defence, in Thiago Silva and Thiago Motta. They didn't miss them. Barcelona were bamboozled. This was Paris Saint-Germain tearing them apart. 4-0, it's a completely fair reflection on what we saw, because even before Paris took the lead, there were chances. Ter Stegen made an excellent save from Matuidi. There are other opportunities. You know, Barcelona, I can only think of two really decent chances for them the whole night. It was a complete display from the goalkeeper. Guys like Nkunku came on as a sub, even making his debut. Kimpembe in centre-half making his debut in this competition, who were just magnificent. And then the quality of the finishing. Draxler, Cavani, and of course the two from Di Maria from outside the box, one from a free kick. It was, as I say, a complete performance from the home team. Completely and utterly deserved the 4-0 scoreline.
I mean, we said during commentary, didn't we, Richard, when was the last time that front three, possibly, arguably, the greatest front three of all time, of Messi, Suarez and Neymar, didn't have a shot on target between them?
OK, so now we are talking about Barcelona. And
we have to,
and
a little
bit.
And
you do say, you know, they're never rested. They're playing every game. You know, I've got it written down here, how many games both teams have been playing in recent weeks. It was something like 11 matches or 12 matches they've been playing since the start of 2017. It's a match every 3 days.
Actually, that is one of the things I think that people in Spain will look at. I mean, it's something that makes the Copa del Rey very exciting, but it does mean that you end up playing a load more games. You play every midweek from the start of January. Yeah, and of course, they've gone all the way to the final.
I've got it here, sorry. 13th match in 5.5 weeks for Barcelona.
It's tough. And I think the problem was, though, really, as I think you alluded to in commentary again, Richard, further back in midfield, they just didn't have the legs in midfield. And I think it's a real shame that Ivan Rakitic, who's been a pivotal player for them in La Liga and the UEFA Champions League, of course, you know, you think of the 2015 final in Berlin, was sitting there on the bench when Iniesta didn't look fit, Sergio Busquets looked far from his best, Andre Gomes is still really struggling to justify his price tag. But make no mistake about it, Paris Saint-Germain were absolutely monstrous in midfield. Blaise Matuidi ran 12 kilometres during that game. 12 kilometres. I don't reckon that Barcelona front three ran 12 kilometres between them. It was an extraordinary effort. Verratti won the game. He showed why he's one of the very best midfielders in Europe. But again, there's so many Paris Saint-Germain players you could give props to. Angel Di Maria has been revitalised. Julian Draxler has played a huge part in that. He was excellent. But you talked about the two who were absent in Thiago Motta and Thiago Silva. And Rabiot was excellent, but Presnel Kimpembe at centre-back. And, you know, you think of, I think it was 4-0 when Barcelona were trying to find themselves a glimmer. And that double tackle he made on Lionel Messi, and then just strode away with the ball as if he was jogging in his back garden before giving it to Rabiot. It was extraordinary. What poise for a UEFA Champions League debut. There is a real star on the UEFA club competition scene born tonight.
And it seemed Unai Emery showed, if you take the game to Barcelona in the early stages and take advantage of that, say you score in the opening 20 minutes as they did, it's going to be very difficult for the Blaugrana to get back into it.
I know, but the thing is, Robert, this is a two-legged affair. So 1-0, 2-0. You know, I was thinking at halftime, it's 2-0. You know, Barcelona more than capable of pulling a goal back. 2-1, you'd say Barcelona are favourites going into the second leg, even at 2-1. But it was the non-stop let-up from the first whistle right to the very end, when they even maybe had an opportunity to carve out a fifth goal. It was just the incessant nature of the performance. That's what completely baffles me in terms of the Barcelona perspective, that they just could never get a foothold into the game. Maybe at 1-0 there were some signs that they might get back into it, but once it became 2, that was it. Luis Enrique, he didn't make a change at half time. He kept with the same side, and then in the end,
should he have made that change?
Well, in hindsight, we can all be smart. And listen, Luis Enrique is a terrific coach. He's won trebles, he's won doubles, he's won a number of trophies with Barcelona. But on tonight's performance, there are going to be a lot of question marks. Of course, any coach who's in charge of Barcelona and they lose a match is going to have questions about them. Lose 4-0 in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League, they're going to be huge question marks.
Are they out, Andy?
Yes, I think so. I don't see how there's any way back. And, you know, you can say it's Barcelona at the Camp Nou and that they've shown much better form at the Camp Nou since the turn of the year, which they have. But not only are they going to have to produce the remontada, the comeback, to beat all the remontadas? But also, on top of that, they're playing Paris Saint-Germain.
You can say
Paris Saint-Germain have done an incredible job in rolling over Barcelona. Well, on this evidence, anyone is going to have to do a phenomenal job to roll over Paris Saint-Germain. They're one of the very best teams in the competition on this evidence.
Okay, we're going to get lots of reaction to the game tonight. Luis Enrique's press conference is underway now, but we've heard from some of the players, Richard Kaufman.
And we've heard actually a quote from the coach himself, who we're getting pictures on our monitor of the press conference. Obviously, we can't hear him, but looking rather animated, as you would suggest. He actually has said the result reflects what happened out on the field. Obviously, no more to elaborate on that right now. But Sergio Busquets, interesting to hear what he had to say. He said they were better than us. They played better. They were better tactically. They outdid us physically. And I think that's a pretty good summary.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. More on this game shortly. Thank you very much, gents. Let's turn our attention next to Lisbon. Benfica took on Borussia Dortmund in their round of 16 first leg. Mike Shule, watch this one.
Pizzi swings it in deep towards the edge of the six-yard area, headed down, and it's sent in the end. And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou. The corner was headed down by Luis Sao. Mitroglou reacted quickest, and he poked the ball home. And Benfica take the lead. Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. Benfica don't clear properly. That's handball, and that's a penalty to Dortmund. Clear as day. Nicola Rizzoli doesn't hesitate in pointing to the spot. A mistake by Fazer, and Dortmund have the chance to level. And it's now Aubameyang against Ederson, who saves, and there's no chance for a rebound. It's a poor penalty by Aubameyang. It is just not his night. Ederson denies him. It remains Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. Swung into the edge of the six-yard area, away by Jimenez. Volley back in, deflected and brilliantly saved acrobatically by Ederson. Not for the first time. He keeps Dortmund out.
It just was not Borussia Dortmund's night. They had chances, particularly in the first half, and that Aubameyang penalty, but they just could not take them. Let's hear from the Benfica defender tonight, key to keeping that clean sheet, Victor Lindelöf.
Of course, it was a great team effort from us tonight, and it was special for us also too, because it was the 500th game for Luis Sao also, so it was very important for us to win tonight, so yeah, it felt very good.
And from the Borussia Dortmund camp, their goalkeeper, Roman Bürki.
Yeah, it's hard to say. We have to score here five goals, of course. We had the chance for five goals, and then this game is over, and we are in the next round. So we have to work hard again at home, and then yeah, I'm looking forward to this game.
Okay, let's speak to our commentator, Mike Shaw. Mike, Roman Bürki said it there. We had a chance to score 10 goals. At this level, you have to take them.
Yeah, and had they taken them, had Ederson not been in such fine form, then they would have been out of sight already with all those away goals. Basically, Ederson, you heard two clips of commentary there from saves he made. He made another three saves in the second half as well, all coming after they took the lead. I even said after the match, the secret to save penalties is to study your opponent and stay focused. He said it was a difficult game and I did my best to help the team. Well, he certainly did a huge amount to help the team, to deny Dortmund an away goal. They take a slender lead to Germany, surely, but Dortmund are going to, if they play like that in the second leg, are going to be very, very hard to keep out. It was partly due to him, partly due to missed chances. Aubameyang was to blame for at least two of them when he was in clear positions, and that's in addition to the penalty that he missed. And Julian Weigl has commented after the game saying, it hurts tonight. I was fully convinced that one of our chances would go in. We absolutely would have deserved it. I don't quite know what to say. It's really annoying. And as for their coach, Thomas Tuchel, well, he said, I don't think we played well. I think we played outstandingly. We failed to notice that they played some sort of forechecking right after the interval where we've lost the ball twice. That was their downfall. They lost Luis Sao from the corner. He moved really well from the corner, from the back post to the penalty spot, and it was his header towards goal which Mitroglou latched onto. But he said, luckily, there's a return leg for such games, said Tuchel. He said, they attacked us differently after the break. We're not prepared for how they attacked our back three. Had we played long balls in those those situations, nothing would have happened. But it's just one of those nights, and he said he was happy with his team's performance, just that they could not score.
Mike, where's Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang at the moment? Because, of course, he's come back from that disappointment at the African Cup of Nations with the host nation, Gabon, who he was leading. I think, really, most Dortmund fans would have been quite pleased that he came back so quickly. But, you know, you think about players allegedly getting tired out at the African Cup of Nations, a tournament that happens mid-European season. Well, last time he was hosting it, well, sort of co-hosting it with Equatorial Guinea. He was knocked out of the quarterfinals, had a very good tournament, then came back in February and scored 9 of his 16 goals for Saint-Etienne that season, having been, I guess, galvanised by the tournament. So do you think he's still holding that disappointment on his shoulders a little bit?
Well, potentially. I mean, you teed up a quote from Thomas Tuchel quite well, because he has said after the game that, and this is in response to the fact that Aubameyang was taken off later on in the second half. Thomas Tuchel said, "Aubameyang is not fully fit after the Africa Cup of Nations, and his body language did not suggest that he would do better after giving away the penalty, after missing the penalty." Basically, since the group stage, Aubameyang has only scored 2 goals in 7 appearances prior to today for Dortmund. OK, he was at the Africa Cup of Nations, but clearly tonight he was just off-key, like a musician. He just wasn't able to find the right notes at all, and he missed 2 gilt-edged chances, and then the penalty summed it up, really. It was a very lacklustre effort. OK, Ederson chose right to stay in the middle of the goal, but it lacked power, and it just summed up his night.
Mike, thank you very much. We're going to come back to you for further reaction to this game. Benfica 1, Borussia Dortmund 0. Let's read out some of the tweets we've had in using hashtag MatchDayLive. Amelin says, nothing MSN and 5 goals at the Camp Nou can't fix. Is that too much optimism? Chris Burke, UEFA.com reporter at the Parthe Press, says this is destined to be one of those I was there nights for Paris Saint-Germain fans. A reminder, the second leg of both of tonight's games, Wednesday, the 8th of March. Coming up, we're going to look ahead to tomorrow's round of 16 ties as Real Madrid hosts Napoli and Bayern face Arsenal.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non al racisme.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Andy Brassel and me, Rob Daly. 2 more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League round of 16, starting with Bayern against Arsenal. Like Paris Barcelona, another regular matchup in UEFA Champions League football. Full commentary of that, so join us from 19:30 Central European time. Before we speak to our commentator Adam Summerton, let's hear from Arsene Wenger, who was asked if the experience of playing Bayern in previous seasons will help with their preparation.
I feel we have the experience. We play against the Bayern side, who is every year the same target is to win the Champions League. And when you look at their record, they are always basically in the last 4. So it's a massive challenge, but I think we are capable to deal with it. We have the advantage to play the second game at home. But we know as well that every minute of tomorrow's game will have a big influence on our chances at home to knock them out.
OK, let's speak to Adam Summerton, our commentator for this game on Wednesday night. Adam, thank you very much for joining us. Arsenal have been knocked out in this competition at this stage in each of the last 6 seasons. Have you seen enough from the Gunners of late to suggest that that run could change?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that they've topped their group, and they were very unlucky having topped their group, which has been a bugbear of their supporters, to then end up getting Bayern, of course. So they've been unlucky in that respect. Can they go further? Well, this is clearly a very big hurdle, and one in terms of Bayern that they've failed at 3 times before. So you'd have to say that, for me, Bayern start out as favourites, but as Wenger alluded to there, that experience could perhaps help them.
Adam, I suppose it's an interesting one, isn't it, for Bayern at the moment, because with the whole Philipp Lahm announcement, it's added an extra edge to what they're doing in the UEFA Champions League this season. The feeling that, and he's not a guy who likes to muck around, that it's now or never. And you saw all the goodwill towards him, especially when the second goal went in at Ingolstadt at the weekend. They're really going to want to do it for him, aren't they?
Absolutely they are, and I think that could be a key motivating factor, and maybe in some ways, although Ancelotti will be disappointed to lose him going forward, and I think the club have been quite clear on that, that they wanted him to stay, you know, that will be a galvanising factor for them. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I mentioned Ancelotti. I mean, you know, he's essentially been brought to Bavaria because of his record in this competition. Three times UEFA Champions League winner. Nobody's won it more times as a coach, level at the top of those standings with Bob Paisley. So he could be really important in all of this as well.
No Jerome Boateng and Franck Ribéry for Bayern. I mean, Adam, they have the squad to cope with such high-quality absentees.
They do have the squad, absolutely. And I think that a lot of people will be looking to see what Bayern turns up in this game because, you know, as even if you look at the fact they're through to the round of 16, they're top of the league by 7 points, they're through to the next round of the Pokal, I think still there are people saying that maybe they haven't quite been yet the machine that they were under Guardiola, although, of course, he made three semi-finals in a row, couldn't reach the final. So I'm fascinated to see what sort of Bayern we get, what sort of intensity we get from them tomorrow night.
I guess the question from the Arsenal perspective is, where does Olivier Giroud fit in? Because he loves a goal against Bayern Munich, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he absolutely does. And Wenger's got some big decisions to make in several positions. I know that he's been talking about the confidence of Ozil perhaps not being quite as high as they would hope. But I believe he's got quite a good record, actually, against Bayern. Will want to prove himself, will be very motivated going back to Germany. And, of course, we already know, because Wenger has told us, that Ospina will be in goal. It won't be Petr Cech, and he's been fulsome in his praise of Ospina's performances in the group stage as well.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for Bayern against Arsenal from the Fussball Arena München. And we're going to hear from Arsene Wenger as well on tomorrow's show. Also on Wednesday, it's the first leg of Real Madrid against Napoli, and you won't miss any of the key action from the Bernabeu on Match Day Live either. The holders have some important players back from injury in time for the tie, according to their UEFA Champions League winning fullback, Michel Salgado.
If we have a look back, you know, to the last game against Osasuna in the domestic league, we got some really good news for Real Madrid, especially Carvajal. He was on the bench. I think he's going to play this game. For me, Modric, who is essential, a key player right now in Real Madrid in midfield. Bale is not going to make it. I think he will need some time. But for me, the big boost, of course, is Modric in midfield and even Carvajal getting back. Marcelo as well. He played in Osasuna. So they've been through a tough time in terms of injuries, and they're recovering all the guys for this special game in Santiago Bernabeu against Napoli. So I always trust Real Madrid, but with all these players back, I think we got many more chances.
You'll hear more from Michel Salgado on Wednesday's Match Day Live in the build-up to Real Madrid against Napoli. And as we heard there, Luka Modric will be making his return from injury, and he's confident Real Madrid can win at home tomorrow.
We know that tomorrow we're expecting hard game. Napoli is a very good team. They are in good run of form. They are without defeat for a long time. That says a lot about them. But we are playing at home. We are very confident that we can play good game and to win the game tomorrow. It's important to not concede. We will try that we can go with good advantage second leg.
Okay, Phil Blacker will be our commentator for this game, and he joins us now. And Phil, Napoli go into this game in pretty good form, and they're free scoring as well.
Certainly are, Rob. Yeah, looking forward to this one, particularly because of that attacking form that Napoli are displaying at the moment. 16 games unbeaten in all competitions. I think they've only drawn a couple of games in the 11 matches that they played since match day six, when they won their group 7 goals away from home recently at Bologna. They're the top scorers in Serie A. And Maurizio Sarri, yeah, he said before this game he's going to adopt that very same policy at the Bernabeu. He's not going to take into account the fact that they're away at the holders and a club with such prestige that they're facing. He's going to stick to the blueprint that has been so successful this season. He says if they are defending for 90 minutes, that's not part of the plan. It's because Real Madrid are simply too strong at the other end, but it's going to be fascinating.
It's funny, isn't it, Phil? Because we know that there should be a lot of goals in this game because Napoli always come to attack, because Real Madrid are exceptionally strong at the Bernabeu, but they've not looked exceptionally strong at the Bernabeu in the UEFA Champions League this season, have they?
I haven't. It's probably more Napoli's away form that has been eye-catching. You know, they took 7 of their points, I think, in the group stage away from home. Real Madrid unbeaten in the group stage, but they have probably lost that little air of invincibility as well. Of course, they set the record, didn't they? 40 games unbeaten for a Spanish side since the end of the group stages, but then back-to-back defeats in the space of 3 days. Yes, as we've been hearing, they have key players coming back for this one, but I still think they've got a little bit to prove in that respect. And Maurizio Sarri again made the point, coming to the Bernabeu, says, yes, it's such a difficult place to go. That is not just because of the arena. That is because of the strength, he says, of the side that play there. But he's definitely spotted some weaknesses, I think, and it's going to be interesting to see whether they can deal with the pressure of this sort of occasion. It's his first season coaching in the UEFA Champions League, therefore his first knockout round tie. A lot of the players will feel they've got a point to prove, but you have to balance that maybe with a lack of experience at this level compared to the ultimate test in that respect in the holders that they're facing.
I mean, both teams have had big injury absentees of late, Phil. I think to Napoli and Arkadiusz Milik, who's returning, and Gareth Bale for Real Madrid, who I saw footage from Real Madrid. He has been training, but I presume this game's too soon for him.
It is too soon, yeah. He's been back training with the squad. He's been involved in the sort of pre-match preparations, but the squad was confirmed earlier today. Gareth Bale is not in it, a little bit too soon after 3 months out with an ankle injury. So he's the only sort of major absentee, though, for Zinedine Zidane at this stage.
Phil, thank you very much. Look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Phil Blacker will be our commentator for Real Madrid against Napoli from the Bernabeu. We're going to hear from Salgado, Modric, Callejon facing his former club, and plenty more ahead of that one. Let's turn our attention back to the Tuesday night fixtures and two incredible results. We'll start by discussing Benfica 1, Dortmund 0 even further. Let's hear from Borussia Dortmund forward André Schürrle, who came on in the second half.
Not a good result for us, but it's not really bad because we know we had to score, we had to win this match today, but we can turn this around. It's a 1-0 and we play at home in our stadium, in our temple, so yeah, it's going to be a good match and we need to be there 100% to turn this around.
Kostas Mitroglou, the Greek international with German citizenship, getting the winner against a Bundesliga side. Benfica have won 13 of their last 16 games. Mike Schürrle as well. I mean, what a result for Rui Vitória.
Massive result, but he did actually say after the game, I have no problem in recognising how well Dortmund played. Even having won, we know we can improve. We know what we have to do in the second leg. Whether they can keep Dortmund out there is another question.
OK, Mike, get your man of the match ready, because I'm going to ask you that before the end of the show. Alongside me, Andy Brassel and Richard Kaufman. Paris Saint-Germain 4, Barcelona 0 might be the story of the UEFA Champions League so far this season. What further reaction have we had to the game, Richard?
A couple of reaction now from the Paris Saint-Germain camp. Angel Di Maria saying you couldn't have imagined a better evening. Winning 4-0 against Barcelona on the day of my birthday. It's unbelievable. It was the perfect match, he says. To win, it's necessary to play a match like this today. Now, I can't believe we've scored 4 goals. Marquinhos saying tonight everybody's super happy. We've got to keep our feet on the ground, work hard and prepare, because we know at the Camp Nou Barcelona are going to be a team on the rebound. We have to defend and attack together, because even though it is 4-0, it isn't quite tie over.
It's not quite. OK, quick ones. Man of the match, Richard?
Everybody for Paris Saint-Germain.
Verratti.
And man of the match from Lisbon, Mike Schürrle.
No question, Benfica goalkeeper Ederson.
Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for. And UEFA Champions League Match Day Live is back. What a night we've had on the first evening of the round of 16. As Paris Saint-Germain go into the second leg of their tie in Barcelona with a 4-goal lead. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the night? Then in Portugal, Benfica take a narrow 1-goal advantage to Germany after weathering a relentless Dortmund storm. Join us again from 19:30 Central European time on Wednesday night when it's Bayern against Arsenal in Munich and Real Madrid take on the Italian side Napoli at the Bernabeu. Two cracking matches. Until then, from Andy Brassel, Richard Kaufman, Mike Schürrle, and myself, Rob Daly,
it's goodbye.
Towards the edge of the six-yard area, headed down, and it's sent in the end. And Benfica take the lead right at the start of the second half through Kostas Mitroglou.
It is Di Maria, and it's the opening goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Di Maria slides on his knees. It's no more than they deserved. It's Di Maria with the opening goal. Plays it out to Draxler. Julian Draxler. Welcome to the UEFA Champions League.
Listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.